This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to Frequent Milers Coffee Break, where we focus on a single topic related to miles and points.
And each coffee break is limited to 20 minutes or less, or your money back. How Frequent Miler Makes Money. Today, we're going to talk about how Frequent Miler makes money and probably how we don't make money, too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because people ask this very frequently. People, sometimes anyway, brave people will ask, how do you make money? I mean, anytime it comes up, I think probably this has been true for you for a long time and true for me, too. If it comes up what we do for a living with anybody new that we meet, the first question is always, what do you do? And then the next question is, how do you make money doing that? And so I think it makes sense for us to talk about that because Frequent Miler has a team of five people and four of us are full time and, of course, one part time. And so obviously there has to be some income coming in order to keep the lights on and keep all of us employed. And thankfully there is. So hopefully Greg can tell us a little bit about where that comes from and how the blog makes money.
Yeah, let's get into that. So I've been doing this as my full-time career since 2012. For most of that time, it was just a blog, and I was alone working on it for several years before I started bringing in help. And it was, I guess, about 5 years until Nick came on full-time, and a few years after that, before we started the podcast. So the blog itself is what is the primary moneymaker for Frequent Miler. And I think it's natural that when people hear that, when people say, what do you do? Well, I run a blog, you know, that they can't even imagine, like, how can that make money? And so that's what we're here to explain, how that works. So first I'll talk about the easy part, which is easy to understand part, which is display ads. So we get paid to put advertisements on the blog. So you'll see ads for all kinds of different things on the side or sometimes like in between paragraphs of blog posts. And we earn some money doing that. It's a very small percentage of our overall revenue. I would guess somewhere in the ballpark of 15%, but it may be less than that. I'm really not sure.
I think that's interesting. I'm going to pause and interrupt you there because what do you mean you're not sure? How do you not know? I think that would be the next question somebody would ask. What do you mean you're not sure how much it is? I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't watch closely the income that comes into the to this business. I just kind of make sure that enough gets deposited monthly to pay everyone's checks. And that's about it. And then at the end of the year, I kind of look over, you know, how things fell out in order to really just to have a sanity check on my understanding of where the business is and where it's going and where it should be going. So yeah, I don't keep a careful watch on those things. We don't have a CFO who analyzes the income. And, I know that's very weird for a business, but that's just the way I do it.
I think that's really interesting because that wasn't something that I think I ever would have imagined or a way of doing business that I ever would have thought of or would have been natural to think about. Like the fact that you don't look at it, I think is, or frequently anyway, that you don't monitor it is unique. I think a lot of business owners are probably very carefully looking over analytics on those types of things every month. And it would maybe seem strange to some that you're not. But I think it's also pretty indicative of the attitude you take towards Frequent Miler, that we're going to try to write the best content we can and do right by the readers as best we can. And then success will hopefully naturally follow with that. And it has proven true for all of these years. And I think that that's pretty interesting because I think maybe as an outsider, if I didn't work at the blog, I might think that you're trying to write a post about A so that you can make money on B, or that you're kind of micromanaging what content comes out in order to meet certain goals or things. And it's not like that at all on that side of things. And I think that that's kind of interesting. Also, when you mentioned the display ads, I think anybody who's not particularly familiar with online publishing might not be as clear on that as it is to you and I. When Greg says display ads or there's ads on the blog, It's not blog posts. I want to be clear about that. There are no sponsored posts on Frequent Miler. It's not like Hilton pays for us to write a post about Hilton. That's not the way it happens. When he's talking about display ads, he's talking about those like Google ad kind of things that you see where there's like, you know, hey, you were looking at that pair of glasses. You should buy those. That has nothing to do necessarily with the content. They just kind of show up in there and on the sides. And sometimes they will be for credit cards because we're the type of people who are constantly Googling credit cards and things. So it's somewhat targeted. Targeted in that way. But when we say display ads, we're talking about those advertisements that you're used to seeing on every website out there.
Yeah. And we also have nothing to do with the decision of which particular ads display on there. That's handled by a separate organization. Welcome to our first ever homemade host-read ad, built as a loyalty program that famously rewards you for paying rent.
But of course, there are many other ways to earn Built points. You can earn points booking travel or fitness classes, or just by linking the credit cards that you already use every day at participating restaurants, Walgreens, and when you pick up a Lyft.
And Built has a fantastic set of transfer partners.
Don't forget that Built regularly offers huge transfer bonuses too. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbuilt.com/miles. That's joinbuilt.com/miles. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you.
Now back to the show. We just, you know, collect what meager revenue comes in from display ads, which is fine. It's a very useful part of our overall revenue. Another part that's also a relatively small part of it overall is miscellaneous affiliate links. And what affiliate links are, where you have a link to a product, like maybe you have a link to a product on Amazon.com, for example, that we display on our blog. And if you click through, the reader click through, buy something on Amazon, we get a small percentage, like 4% or less. I don't even know what it is. It's another example where I just don't pay any attention. So we have links like that for Amazon, various award search tools, miscellaneous services and things, just where it's cropped up over time that just by us putting a link on the site will get us some revenue. And it hasn't added up to a very large percentage at all. It may be in the 10%-ish range of our revenue. I'm not really sure. Okay. Where the bulk of the revenue comes from is credit card affiliate links. So just like the other affiliate links I was just talking about, credit card affiliate links are where, when available, we can put a link to a credit card offer on our site. When a reader clicks through that link, applies for a card, and is approved, then we earn a commission for that. They consider it a sale. So we earn commissions that way. And that, as I said, that accounts for the vast majority, probably in the 70% range of our revenue at Frequent Miler. But it's really important to point out here that we leave a lot of potential affiliate revenue from credit cards on the floor because we do not display our affiliate links if there are better public offers available. And that happens quite a lot where, you know, our affiliate link, if we have one, might be to a offer for, I'm just going to make up some numbers, 75,000 points, whereas there might be a public offer for 100,000 points that would be clearly better for the readers. We're not going to even show you that 75,000 point offer that gives us money. We're instead going to show you the 100,000 point offer that is best for you. And we've done that even when the difference is tiny. We just think it's the right thing to do for our readers and listeners.
I think it's also important to point out here that there are many cards on our best offers page, like the vast majority, I think, that we don't have. There are no affiliate links for, not even in some cases, just we don't have an affiliate link. In other cases, there's just banks that don't tend to work with an affiliate type of a relationship. So there are tons of those on our best offers page. I think it's natural to assume as a blog reader, podcast listener, that anytime you're clicking through one of our credit card links, that it's our link and that we're getting paid. And that's just not the case in the majority of cards that that's we list true. On our best offers page, which is fine. I mean, that's we list it. We have that page so that you can find the best publicly available offers, because that's something that we would like to have. And I think that that's an interesting piece of Frequent Miler, that it's long been driven very much by what you've thought. And I say you because it was your site to begin with, and it was just you for years and years. And now collectively, the we of Frequent Miler, things that we think are interesting and useful, and hope that they're interesting and useful for the people who are watching or listening or reading the blog. So I think that's kind of a unique sort of a thing, that that's the kind of the motivation behind a lot of the content, like the best offers page and the policy that we're only going to list the best available offer, because that's what we would want if we were applying for a card, right? So I think that's interesting. It's also interesting to note that there's a lot of cards that we've talked a lot about over the years that there are no affiliate links for. And every now and then, you know, you get a comment from somebody who says something about how you're trying to, you know, shill for a card A or B, and it's a card that there are no affiliate links for. And I think there's no benefit for us necessarily, apart from obviously you reading it. And I say no benefit for us. There is the benefit for us, because you keep coming back and reading and listening and following us. So we find more benefit in that than in trying to convince you of, you know, 15 reasons why you should apply for this affiliate card. That's just not necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's frustrating when people assume that we're shilling for a credit card company when we're so clearly not. On the other hand, I think it's good that consumers are wary about what people say in podcasts and publish on blogs, because there is a lot of that. There are a lot of organizations out there that will try to push you towards whatever product will make them the most money, not necessarily what's best for you. And we try very hard to do the opposite and not care about what we're earning from things. In fact, we don't know when we're talking about a card. We don't talk about, we never talk internally about, like, oh, we have affiliate links for this or we don't. Like, that's just not a relevant part of the conversation. The relevant part is this interesting? and that's it, you know, full stop. If it's interesting, then it makes the show.
Or even, I think it's worth mentioning, or even how much the affiliate commission is. Like, I don't even know how much the affiliate commission is on cards on the best offers page. So that's not something that influences business, never has. I mean, there's never been that piece of it in terms of, like, driving what it is that we're writing about. So I think that's unique and interesting. But obviously, you know, we're able to kind of keep the lights on with the commission that the site earns. And obviously those other pieces of income that you talked about, I know you're not done probably talking about the different ways that Frequent Miler earns money, but we appreciate the fact that there are plenty of you out there watching and listening and using our links when it makes sense for you. And when you have a referral link to use within your household, we certainly get that and hope you're earning all the points that you can that way too. But I just want to say thank you anyway to all the people out there who are regular listeners and watchers and readers and users of our links, because that makes it possible for us to do this.
Oh, totally. So last but not least, I mean, we've talked all about how the blog makes money. We haven't mentioned the podcast yet, which is kind of funny on a podcast. But the truth is that until now, the podcast has not been a significant source of revenue at all, not direct. So we've earned a little bit of money through YouTube ads, because we publish the podcast in video form on YouTube. And we definitely earn money indirectly, because I believe that a lot of people who listen to our podcast will, you know, end up on the blog, maybe to sign up for cards or click through other things that earn us money. And I just say, I believe we haven't done anything to try to track that, but it makes sense that that's happening. We did this year, we're recording this in 2025, join a podcast network called Voyascape. And the idea was to start doing ads on the audio podcast. And so those ads have just started as we're recording this. Those ads just started recently. And so we're not going to see, I don't think, our first paycheck from podcast ads until 2026. And hopefully that will do well, and hopefully it won't be too distracting to our listeners having some ads in there.
Yeah, they don't. I don't expect them to become a significant portion of the time you're listening to the show or anything. It'll just be similar to the ads you would generally hear on any podcast probably these days. So anyway, yeah, that's a new source of revenue for us. And I think it's also kind of interesting to note that when we started this podcast, I don't know, what was it, 2019 that we started this, I think?
I think so.
May of 2019. Yeah. And we never talked about it being a driver of revenue necessarily, but it seemed to make sense. It seemed to be a fit with Voyascape and they're kind of growing and adding more and more podcasts, and seems like kind of an interesting group. So it was something that we thought was worth exploring.
Yep.
Don't forget, if you've enjoyed this and you'd like to get on our email list, you want to go to frequentmiler.com/subscribe to join our email list, follow us on all the various social media, and check out our Frequent Miler on the Air episodes dropping every Friday.
Hi, I'm David Brody, co-host of the Travel in 10 podcast. Together, myself and my co-host Tim Johnson have traveled to over 150 countries around the world and all 7 continents. Now we're sharing our favorite places, some of our best tips and experiences from all around the world in just 10 minutes on Travel in 10. Join us at voyascape.com.
Hey, I'm DeAndre Koch, financial advisor, world traveler, and host of Revolutionizing Your Journey. If you're ready to unlock luxury without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. Each week, I sit down with experts to reveal how to fly in $10,000 business and first class seats for 90% off and stay in 5-star resorts for nearly free using the power of points and miles. From insider tips to real traveler stories, you'll get the tools to travel smarter and see the world differently. Find Revolutionizing Your Journey at voyascape.com.